Welcome to the CREXI podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate. Each episode, the CREXI team dives into a broad range of topics to investigate trends, educate listeners, and understand the latest industry news. As the nation's fastest growing online CRE platform, we're excited to provide a window into the inner workings of commercial real estate for this generation and the next.
Welcome, and thank you all for joining us this episode of the CREXI podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate. In this show, we cover a broad range of topics that cater to CRE newcomers and industry leaders alike. I'm your host, Taylor Curtis, and today we're thrilled to sit down with Ryan Flint, co-founder, president, and managing partner of HG Manor. Before we dive in, a little about our guest. Ryan is the co-founder, president, and managing partner heading up brokerage at HG Manor. Over the last decade, he's worked some of the largest and most complex real estate transactions, locally, regionally, and nationally. He spent most of his career at Colliers, where he served as the president of the Utah market before building the business at HG Manor. Ryan is sought after to speak around the country on real estate, mindset, entrepreneurship, and personal branding, where his mission is to inspire, educate, and empower individuals to navigate the dynamic world of real estate while enhancing their overall quality of life. Ryan also serves on the board of directors and advisory committees for many reputable companies. Over the years, he and his wife's foundation have been able to give back to his hometown student athletic department and provided for thousands of people in his community. Ryan resides in northern Utah with his family, who love traveling, attending sports events, boating, and skiing. Well, Ryan, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. I know we just covered a bit about your background, but would love to learn more about your career path and lessons learned along the way.
Yeah. So tell me where you want me to start.
Yeah. So I guess just to kick it off, can you help us understand where you're from and just how you first got your start in commercial real estate?
Yeah. So I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. I live about 20 miles north of Salt Lake in a place called Kaysville. So Davis County. I was born and raised here. I went to high school here, went to college in Ogden. So really close by, played baseball. And I got my start in commercial real estate because I loved real estate. My father-in-law is a big real estate developer, commercial, and I loved the lifestyle that he was living. His freedom, you know, a lot of people will chase fame, and I chase freedom. And watching him, you know, almost idolizing the lifestyle that he was living was very intriguing to me. And so obviously, you know, with him and all of his success, he was the first person that I went and I said, hey, can I get a job? And he said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. he essentially said, you need to get X amount of hours underneath your belt before you could even do anything for me. And I'm talking like even list his properties. And so it was a number of years, you know, 10, 20,000 hours that I had to put in before I could even get his attention. And I'm grateful for it because a lot of people, a lot of dads just give handouts. And I had to start from the very bottom, and I wouldn't have had it any other way, if I'm honest. And so what I did know is I didn't want to do residential real estate. And a lot of my friends do residential real estate. They do very well. It's a very unique business, but it's not for me. I love working with companies, entrepreneurs. I love growth. So I do a lot of corporate work. So it's not just one location. It could be 10 or 20 or 50 locations, just depending on the user. It could be five, it could be one. But I love that part of commercial real estate. And so it's helped me thrive. Like I said, I started at the bottom. I got my foot in the door with a friend, and then just kept chipping away at it year after year after year. And it's a long play. A lot of people will say, oh, I want to get into real estate to make money really quick. And you can make good money, but it's not quick. At least it wasn't for me. It was very slow. I had to hang in there. I had those conversations with my wife that was, hey, are we going to be able to make the mortgage this month? And so it's not all flowers and roses. It's a lot of hard work and persistence and perseverance and hanging in there.
And it sounds like your father was quite a mentor in the beginning, kind of making you go out and start from scratch.
For sure. For
sure. Who else helped kind of guide that journey?
You know what? I have a lot of good friends. I wouldn't say that I had a lot of mentors in the business. I had a few, but I was just more self-motivated. I had to get up in the mornings and do the thing. And so I would say that I was very self-motivated, and I was motivated by those peers in the business that were doing really well. Mm-hmm. Obviously some of them became somewhat of a mentor, but more than anything, it was me just watching from afar, listening from afar, doing presentations together, picking up on the good things that they did and learning mm-hmm. from the things that they made mistakes on. And that's really how I learned. Like I said, it's been a long-term kind of play here.
Yeah. Nice. It sounds like picking up little tidbits along the way. And
yeah.
Sometimes you learn more too from people that don't do something the right way, or just being able to say, you know what, that's how I don't want to do it.
For sure. And honestly, when I went to my first firm, you know, not knowing anything about commercial real estate, honestly, I was brand new. I knew how to hustle. I knew how to work hard. I knew how to communicate. I'd show up, I'd dress nice, all the little things that are intangibles. But I remember sitting there, I was there for about a year. I remember sitting there going, oh my gosh, as much as I love these people here in the office, this is the exact opposite of the way I want to do real estate. And so it wasn't that they were doing it bad, right? I look at things like there's no really wrong or right in the way that you're doing brokerage. It either works or it doesn't. And the way that they were doing it wasn't working for me. But I have nothing but nice things to say about them. They got my foot in the door. I'm forever grateful, and we're still friends to this day. But what a big thing missing was in commercial real estate was the customer service aspect. Commercial real estate is very old school, you know, from a stereotype. It's very old school. It's very methodical. It's very slow. And I'm a fast paced guy. I'm a former athlete. I love doing 100 things at a time. And I just sat back and I said, you know what? What I can really make my superpower is the customer service aspect. I can do better follow-ups, follow-throughs, follow-backs. I can be a good communicator. There's things that I can't control, but there's also things that I can. And so I just took advantage and really focused on the things that I could control. And again, it's chipping away a little bit at a time. But that's where I got my big turn, or I should say that's when the success really started to kick in, is when I gave myself permission to win from a customer service level. And it was almost like reinventing the business, or just inventing it, period, because it didn't exist. Mm-hmm. It was dog eat dog. You know, if you didn't represent, you know, a deal, then you're dead to me. If you left a brokerage, you know, you're dead to me. It had nothing to do with friendships. And I saw some of this happen. And I thought, God, if I ever am a leader, or I have, you know, agents that leave our firm, or we, you know, split apart, I leave a firm, which I have, is I want to be really a good advocate and a good person. And I want them to feel comfortable, because at the end of the day, it's about relationships. It's not, I mean, you know, being mean to somebody only goes so far, right? Before it comes back to bite you in the butt. And so that's been a huge focus, and it is a different way of doing business, but it served me well.
Yeah. I love that. And I think it'll permeate more too into the industry. Like I noticed with all the other guests we've had on the podcast, or people I've had the pleasure to interview, it's a similar sort of conversation where they're being more vulnerable and more trying to kind of change the status quo in commercial real estate. And it seems to have quite the trickle effect.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And honestly, just being an athlete, I'm a go-getter. I'm not going to sugarcoat it at all. I didn't learn. You really can't teach work ethic. You can't teach that passion. I wanted it. I had a purpose. I had little kids starting, you know, I had a family, I had a mortgage, I had bills to pay. I didn't want a handout from any of my parents. Nothing. I wanted to create my own legacy. And so that alone was motivating for me. And, but it stems from being an athlete. You know, you learn discipline, you learn hard work, you learn how to wake up in the mornings. You know, I'm a first impression guy. I teach it all the time when I speak, is first impressions do matter. And so I dress every day as if I'm, you know, going to get a call and have to go to a big appointment. And so mm-hmm. it's very important to me.
Yeah. You never know.
You never know.
Do you have any, I guess, favorite mistakes that you've made along the way or course corrections?
Oh my gosh. I have made more mistakes than I could even remember. But the best piece of advice is as far as, you know, learning from somebody that's been in the business for a long time is just be transparent, be honest, if you don't know, you don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's, don't try to fake it until you make it. A lot of people will say, you know, fake it till you make it. Well, not in this business. This is a business of open transparency. And if you don't know it, then you go get help and you be the first to admit that, hey, this is above my pay grade. But I have a partner or a leader or a mentor in the business that can step in and help me. Mm-hmm. And I learned from some of those mistakes, honestly. And as I grew up in the business, there were things that I'm still learn today. But I also teach mentees that, hey, if you don't know it, it's okay. That's what I'm here for. You know, I'm mm-hmm. not going to come in and dip in your pocket. I'm not going to do anything like that. I'm just going to help you because I want them to shine. And that was something that I didn't have. Nobody really wanted me to shine. And so being a leader now is I want my agents to shine so bright that even if I'm just helping them in the background, that's good for me.
Yeah.
That makes me happy.
Do you happen to have an example of one of these times where maybe in the moment it was a mistake or something you were able to overcome that? Or maybe even at the time it didn't feel like a win, but later down the line you realized that that was something that really shaped your career?
Yeah, for sure. I have two examples that I can share with you. Number one is what I just mentioned. You know, I had a client, big client. I was doing everything from the Mississippi River west, and I was in the business just a couple of years. I got that account by a relationship. I got lucky, let's just be honest. And there were deals and terms in the deal with renewals, you know, new locations, build the suits that honestly, Taylor, I just didn't know. I didn't know the intricacies of each and every one of those. And I acted like I did. And that was a huge mistake of mine. Later on, as I gained confidence, I told them, hey, I'm going to bring in a partner. He's got 20 years of experience. Yeah, I know that I'm going to have to share some of my fee, but I'm delivering better for the client. And the client, you know, what's cool is I learned early, but I fixed the mistake. I was open with them. I was communicating with them. I was transparent. And I said, hey, look, I think I'm messing up. I'm not giving the best to you. Therefore, this is what I'm going to do. And here's how I'm going to fix it. And I'll tell you what, they love that way more than me trying to figure it out on my own. They respected it. And the relationship's there to this day. The second one would be, it just slipped my mind, but the second one, let me think what I was going to say. I'll come back to it. Remind me the question again. This will probably have to be cut up.
Oh, no worries. I went a little off cue there, but I was just asking if there's another example of a time where maybe in the moment it felt like a mistake or a failure, and then later on down the line, you were able to look back and say, you know, what I thought at the time wasn't great turned out to be something that really shaped my career.
Yeah. And you know what, just being raw and honest, that's probably the most valuable lesson that I've learned as a broker is there are things that you can keep in, there are things that you communicate. But when it comes down to negotiating, I always wanted to be a person that when I called a broker and they saw my name on their phone or their email, they were like, okay, this is a real deal. Ryan's the real, a real broker. You know, he's very serious about his job. If there's a deal to be had, we're going to get it done. Mm-hmm. And that's been my passion from day one. And so as I've grown up in the business, like I said, you just learn from your mistakes, and instead of dwelling on them or feeling like you lose, you learn. And I always tell people, look, you win, you don't win and lose, you win and learn. And the thing is, are you actually applying the learning lessons that you're doing? Or are you just making mistake after mistake after mistake without applying, mm-hmm. you know, that understanding or that learning. And I made it my mission to, again, customer service. It comes back to customer service, not just for my clients, but for me too. And if I was going to be the very best, I had to go through that storm of failures. And mm-hmm. I didn't really look at them like failures. Maybe in the moment I got down on myself, but during the process and now looking at it from a 30,000 square foot view, it was just learning lessons. And it was up to me to go apply what I learned and never to make that mistake again. Mm-hmm. And that's where the true value comes in as a broker.
Yeah. And it sounds like you learned early on too, that, you know, do right by your clients, put your clients first, really build up the relationship. And that's what will give longevity.
Yeah. I mean, I learned how to love, and that's sometimes sounds really cliche, but at the end of the day, I just lead with love and I go to work. I love my teammates. I love my clients, and I'm not for everybody, and everybody's not for me. But if I can't help somebody, I do everything I can, customer service again, to get them with the next best person or the person that fits best in that box. And you just get a referral fee, you know, and sometimes you don't, but it just comes back to loving people and seeing their best interest. And again, when you shine your light, I mean, that light just, it's like a lighthouse. It's amazing.
Yeah. I love that. And I smiled right when you said that too. Cause I think that's something that like Crexie does really well too. It's, they've always fostered such a tight knit community here. And I think we have a similar mindset of lead with love and support those around you and help everybody to kind of be their best self. And
well, and from an office perspective, you know, especially having our own firm now is culture. People will talk about it, right? You were just mentioning that Crexie has a cool culture. You know, people actually love each other and they get along and they, you know, work through their stuff. And it's the same thing here. Whether you're a brand new broker and you're going into a, you know, a corporate office or you have your own firm, you have to think about what your culture is. And if your culture is kind of pushed to the side and, oh, it's all about me, I'm just going to go in, get my work done. Well, I was that person where it was, hey, I'll be low maintenance. I'll be out of the way. You know, don't worry about me. Just I'll come in, get my stuff done and get out. Well, people didn't want that. I wasn't leading at all at that time. And what I realized was culture is a feeling. And so what feeling are you leaving at the office? And it goes from, I mean, when you're talking about owning a company or it's from smells to the cleanliness, to your environment, to the way that you communicate, the way that you dress, the way that you, you know, are polite and you say thank you and please and, you know, open the door for people. It's little things like that, but it's that feeling that when people leave, they're like, oh, I love going to his office. It's just so fun. You know, they're so professional, but it's so easy to get along with them. They relate. I feel comfortable. I can drop in anytime and I wouldn't feel weird. Mm-hmm. And so it's that feeling. What feeling are you creating? Now, that doesn't just apply for the office. That applies for the way that you do business. So when they hang up the phone, you want them to kind of be like, oh, that was so refreshing. It is so nice to work with somebody that knows what he's doing. And he's just a nice guy. Mm-hmm. You know? And so, you know, that's where the real comes in on everything that I do is just be real. And you know what? Your real sometimes will not be good for everybody. And that's okay. Yeah. Another lesson that I learned, Taylor, was not to really care what other people thought of me. Because as long as I thought of me in a certain way and I held a certain standard, then again, that beacon of light would shed off to everybody else. But it starts right here. It starts with you first. Yep. And that's something that's really overlooked in our business.
Yeah, I agree. Sounds like you bring a lot of like mindfulness practice to your work life as well. What sort of, I guess, like daily habits or practices or fundamentals do you look to incorporate?
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, I lost my grandma and she was my best friend. And during that time, the last couple of days before she passed away, again, going back, we were best buds. And, you know, in a way she raised me. She was really special in my life. And she was a big entrepreneur. To give a little background on her. And I remember holding her hand and saying, "Grandma, if there's any advice that you can give me, what would it be?" And she said, "Ryan, I just want you to start seeing yourself the way that I've always seen you. But let me give you a hint. You've never seen yourself the way that I've seen you." And then she passed away. So Taylor, big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
So for a long time, I tried to uncover or discover, because I'm such a analyst type of personality, was what did that mean? What did she see in me that I don't see in me? Because I feel like I'm a pretty confident person, but there was something that I was missing. And again, she saw me for my very best. When I made mistakes, she called me out on it. When I did the very best, you know, or had a good game, she was the first to be there cheering for me. And so I went through a little journey the last couple of years, and it went from, you know, everybody has morning routines and stuff, but I got more spiritual. I pray a lot more because I feel like I can connect with her in that way. I started giving myself permission to win at every level, whether it was at home or with my kids or my wife or just in the office. I started to give myself permission to be happy rather than stressed out all the time. And what I realized was the stress that I was carrying, sometimes I looked at it as a negative when really it was a positive. Because being an athlete, you want the ball with a couple seconds left. You want to take that last shot or last hit.
Yeah.
And that was always me. And instead of deflecting it, I just absorbed it and said, "I embrace this."
Took it as fuel.
Yeah, fuel. Yeah. Totally. I'm going to embrace this and I'm going to be the very best me. Because when I am that, I really feel like I am a lighthouse in so many ways rather than a tugboat. They both serve the same purposes, but a lighthouse stands strong. It stands tall. The light, it never moves. The light's right there, rather than a tugboat, right? Goes out there and it gets beat on the waves and it serves the purpose of bringing the boats back to the harbor. But a lighthouse, I mean, if you just picture it in your mind, it's firm. It's on land. It's sturdy. It's a safe space. It's all that kind of stuff. And that was the exercises that I went through with my grandma passing. So I did breath work, and I honestly did everything that you could ever imagine, because I really wanted to uncover what she meant by what she said. And it really just started with me. And instead of getting the validation from everybody else and looking outward for validation, I started looking inward. And once I got that, call it humility or confidence in myself, then I could serve people at the highest level. And that's really what this life is all about. Whether you're in commercial real estate or anything else, is you get yourself right, or you get your home in order. Okay, that's what they call it. Your home is you. Get yourself in order. And the light that you share on everybody else is, it's so contagious. It's so beautiful. It's full of love, and it makes your business and your life just that much happier. And that was something that I was missing big time. So again, I might have got off topic a little bit, but that's where my success comes from, is finally giving myself permission to win at every level. Because a lot of people will stereotype, "Oh, well, you're a wealthy person or you're very successful, but you're also a jerk." Well, guess what? You can have both. You can be a wealthy, very successful person in commercial real estate, and you can be a nice person.
Yeah.
You can be full of love. You can be full of light. And the stereotype or the way people think is, "Oh no, it's one or the other." And I disagree with it.
Yep. I'm there with you too. Yeah. And no, don't worry. You didn't deviate from the prompt, and I'm glad it took this direction, because I feel like that's something I align with a lot too, is, you know, get yourself right, figure out what's important to you and how you want to present yourself and be able to be present in each moment. And by being the best version of yourself, then you can be the best version to others and really help others. So
exactly.
Love that. And I love too how vulnerable you are in talking about this.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And, I think it's been really cool again to like talk with different people on the podcast and hear a similar thing of introducing being vulnerable as a leader into mm-hmm. commercial real estate, and less of that just like transactional or kind of closed door mindset. So I think
it if you think about the word humble, mm-hmm. I learned this through kind of discovery, and I do a lot of self-help type of stuff and now coach people and help people and mentor people, but humble equals confidence. And I never understood that, because people can say, oh, Taylor, you're a really humble person. Well, you could say thank you, but what does that really mean? Well, what it means, Taylor, is you're a confident person and people see that. Mm-hmm. And so instead of me deflecting like, oh, you're so nice, thanks, I really absorb it and say, wow, thank you. I totally accept what you're saying. I acknowledge it. And I'm just mm-hmm. going to use that as fuel to go and do more, go and love more, go and serve more, go mm-hmm. and take my customer service and take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And it really does fuel me. It gets me excited. It gets me pumping. It gets its yeah. dopamine hit. And so, again, at the end of the day, it all starts with you having confidence in yourself. And when you have that, oh my gosh, I mean, you want to be a really good broker, and if you have confidence in yourself, not cockiness, okay, you can mm-hmm. have a little bit of that, but the confidence, it's like that steel, small, humble confidence
yep.
that you know that in any weather, you can weather out the storm, you know, yep. and that's amazing. Yeah. I wasn't always like that. I was competitive as hell, but I was never, you know, at having so much peace like I have today.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. And deeply understanding that, you know, you can have both. You can have confidence and you can also have, you know, maybe you don't know everything, and that right. means you bring somebody else in, but that doesn't take away from your confidence and
exactly
doing right by the customer.
Yeah. And acknowledging that that might be the case.
Yeah.
You know, so much of us are so worried about what other people will think. It's fear of the reaction of others that keeps us from hitting our highest level. Mm-hmm. The fear of the reaction of others is what keeps us from hitting the highest level. Well, just drop that
yeah.
and say, look, I acknowledge I don't know everything, but either do you.
Yeah.
So let's work through it together. Let's have fun mm-hmm. together. Let's figure it out together. But what I can commit is I will do everything in my being to serve you to the best of my ability.
Yep.
And that's all it takes.
Good stuff. Well, jumping around a little bit, I'd love to talk more about the lifestyle broker and okay. your success in your personal branding and business. Okay. So as many of our listeners may know, and will know after this episode, you have one of the most recognizable CRE brands on the market with impressive followers on social media. But growth like this, I can imagine, didn't happen overnight. So can you take us back to the early days and I guess what was your headspace like when you decided to go from corporate CRE to making your own brand?
Yeah, great question. So going back to COVID. So in COVID, I'm still young enough to, I didn't go through the recession of 08. I was still in my, you know, I was on my mission. And so I didn't know what a recession would look like, honestly. I was really dumb. And so when COVID hit, everything shut down, and I felt like I was at a really good peak of my business where I was on fire just a couple years ago. And I had a lot of my mentors or a lot of my peers in the business are a lot older than me, like my dad's age. And so they had been in the business for 20 or 30 years saying, you know what, I'm going to weather it out. Things are going to be fine. I'm going to vacation more. I'm going to spend more time with my family, blah, blah, blah. And here I am going, well, I can't hold steel. I've got to do something. And so, I've had LinkedIn since day one, and I would look up business owners and whatnot, but I was being told by some of my peers that were influencers in the saying, hey, why don't you do some commercial real estate stuff on Instagram? So I was like, okay. So I started putting out real estate stuff. Well, I was not getting any traction. I'd get people that looked at at my deals, or, you know, we had closed a couple small leases or whatnot from my social media posts. But then one of my really good friends said, hey, if you stop sharing what you do and you start sharing who you are, you'll blow up because you're very relatable. I said, okay. I didn't really understand what that meant. And so I started to, because commercial real estate is what I do. It's not who I am. Who I am is Ryan, you know, husband, father, you know, friend, business guy, whatever you want to call it. And I started sharing more about that. And all of a sudden people are like, oh, I can relate to him as this person because commercial real estate is really intimidating. Mm-hmm. But if I can relate to him with this person and he continues to teach about commercial real estate or tax strategies or different things that have to do with real estate, leasing, 1031s, all sorts of different things. Well, then when I need something to do with a new building or a lease, I have somebody that I kind of follow and trust. Mm-hmm. And that's where it blew up. Was it what is so many people are so focused about what they do and not who they are. Mm-hmm. Now, LinkedIn and other platforms, that's what you do. And I would recommend that you just do stay in the business lane. But where Instagram is very personable, you know, kind of open, people follow your life. And I'm conscientious of different things that I post just for privacy things. But I started to share who I was. And that's when people were like, oh, I can actually relate to this guy. You know? Yeah.
How interesting.
And, yeah, it was awesome. As far as the other stuff, I mean, it was, remind me of the other question that you had. Oh, the lifestyle broker.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So I'm at I was in a group called the Avengers, and the Avengers were, I think there was like 50 of us that were real estate guys, top real estate guys around the country. And some of them were residential. Some of them were developers, investors. There wasn't very many commercial brokers. I think I was maybe one of three or two. Some business owners that just owned real estate. So everything that we did, we got together four times a year or three times a year, and everything was real estate, real estate, real estate. Well, because of, you know, my speaking and everything, one of my buddies that's a developer, still my really good friend, said, hey, I think you need to have the kind of the motto of lifestyle broker. That needs to be your nickname, because you talk about the lifestyle that you can get from commercial real estate. You know, you show off your shoes and your fashion and your fun. And, you know, that gets me going. I go to the jazz games. Like, I'm very sports heavy. You know, my family and I do a lot of recreation stuff. We just have a lot of fun boating. And they're like, why don't you do the lifestyle broker? And I thought it was kind of dumb at first. And then it kind of came back to, I'm just going to embrace it. You know, and if people make fun of it, who cares? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it just hit. And then I started to get, you know, graphic designers sending me stuff and, you know, clothing companies sending me stuff that was like lifestyle branded. And I was just like, all right, I'll take it and run with it. And so that's where it came from. Yeah, it's been really fun.
Very cool. Yeah. Sounds like the big shift came from humanizing your experience. That way people can relate to you and trust you. And then I'm sure what you have to say business-wise and real estate-wise really holds more for them.
Well, yeah, because you can go out and portray that you're this certain person, right? Or this certain real estate individual. But when they start to see your authenticity and that rawness of you is when they're like, oh, I think I can trust this guy. He's got some cool stuff real estate-wise. But aside from that, my whole life isn't real estate. I like to follow him because of the leader or the example or, you know, the family man or whatever it is that he has. And I'm also talking about my mistakes and my failures and what I can learn from and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And it sounds like you wear a lot of hats and, you know, we're doing speaking gigs before the social media presence took off. But what skills do you think you innately had that prepared you for your entrepreneurial journey?
For sure, work ethic and leadership skills. Again, going back to the athlete in me, I learned how to communicate. You know, being captains of teams or playing in college, you learn how to get along with people that are older than you, people that are younger, you know, older classmen, younger classmen, that type of stuff. And also diversity. Mm-hmm. You know, in college, I had guys from all over the country, some other countries that were playing. And then when I went on my mission to Mexico, obviously I learned Spanish and learned to love those type of people. And so work ethic, that came pretty natural for me. I love to just work. And then being able to communicate and lead by example, not only through my words, but my actions was important to me. Mm-hmm. And still is.
Nice. On the flip side of that, what would you say hasn't come that naturally to you that you've really had to work on?
Well, in commercial real estate, you have to build your sphere of influence from ground up. And so I thought I was a very connected person, which I am, but I didn't think it was going to be as hard as it was. It took me a good 2 or 3 years in the business, full time, all in, to really make a dent. Mm-hmm. And I'm a very impatient person. I know a lot of us entrepreneurs are very impatient. I was very impatient. And I taught myself to be patient. And again, it's about the long roll. I based my business off of relationships, because in commercial real estate, you hear a lot of brokers. You probably hear it in podcasts. I'm only as good as my next deal. Why? Because we make commissions on our deals and then we're done, right? We're out of a job. I'm only as good as my next deal. And I rephrased that years ago was, I'm only as good as the relationships that I keep, because it's not about who I know, it's about who knows me. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's a lot of people that say, oh yeah, I know that person. I know Taylor. Yeah, of course. But does Taylor know me? Does Taylor know me on a level that if I call her, she'll answer? That she knows that, hey, Ryan's in Utah, commercial real estate. This is his expertise. He's calling me for this purpose. Mm-hmm. So again, it's educating and teaching people and being vulnerable about what type of person you are, you know, and that's really where the elevation goes in this business, in any business, honestly, is we all talk the talk about, oh, we know that person, but does that person know you? And if that person doesn't know you and you want a relationship with that person, mm-hmm. what are you doing to cultivate it? And are you as good as your next deal, or mm-hmm. are you as good as the relationships that you keep, not have, keep? Because relationships can be burned quickly if you don't act the right way. Mm-hmm. And so I take a very big passion on being a relationship person. And again, it's leading with love. It's customer service. It's doing things that other brokers won't do, because they're just very focused on deals, 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 deals. Get a deal done, move on. Get a deal done, mm-hmm. move on. I am follow up, follow through, follow back, customer service, check on them, make sure they're good. And that's where a lot of repeat businesses come, and a lot of word of mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, I still make, call it cold calls, but I haven't really cold called for many, many years. Why? Because of the relationships. Yeah. I have no fear whatsoever, because I know I do a good job. Is, hey, if you have anybody in your sphere that could benefit, even if it's from picking my brain, you know, or me connecting them with a contractor or a tax consultant or a developer, whatever it is, I want to be that person. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be the super connector. And I took the hat off of what's in it for me, rather than, hey, how can I serve others with the understanding that maybe nothing's going to come back to me. And when you become okay with that, oh my gosh, it's a win-win all around. Mm-hmm. It's pretty special.
Well, sounds like you've harnessed the patience part.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned that was something that was tough for you, but it sounds like you're in a good headspace with that.
I am. It's been many, many years of being patient.
Yeah.
You know, because real estate is up and down. Mm-hmm. You know, this last year in 2023, interest rates went way up. And so you had to pivot. If you relied on just closing sale deals, it was probably very slow for you. Mm-hmm. And so what are you doing to pivot and help others while the interest rates are high, even if it's for a while? Yep. So it's about getting creative. Commercial real estate agents can be a lot more creative than what they are. Sometimes they just get stuck. I don't know if that's a company thing because they just want you to be super disciplined. But think outside the box, you know, have a little fun with it. Yeah. And we're stereotyped that we don't have too much fun. Just because it's deals. We're dealing with businesses and entrepreneurs that are all serious, and that's fun. But you can also have fun doing it, and you mm-hmm. can be fun to be around and joke around. And, you know, again, that's where that relationship comes in long term.
Yep. Well, what's next for the lifestyle broker goal wise?
So, we started this firm in the summer this year or early fall, and, we're focused on building that, and we're having a fun time doing it. I'm still speaking a ton. I've got 2 or 3 gigs this month, and I enjoy that so much. It's my way of giving back, and there's lots of things coming. I'm just in an abundant mind space, here to help. I'm excited about life. I feel like 2023 was a big learning year for me. It was a big reset year just because of all the changes coming out of corporate and doing my own thing. And really understanding that clients really don't care about what jersey you wear. They care about you. They hire you. They don't really hire the company. They hire you. Mm-hmm. And so are you wearing that jersey with a lot of pride, or are you just wearing it to wear it? And I learned that this year going, oh my gosh, maybe I'll lose some of these clients because I'm not with X brokerage. And what I realized is that's not the case. They don't care whether you're pink, blue, red, or yellow. They care about if you're taking pride in wearing the jersey. Mm-hmm. And so it was a fun experience. Lots of learning, lots of soul searching. And, I'm just glad that it's 2024 now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, getting more into the nuts and bolts of today in commercial real estate, would love to ask you a couple questions about the overall market. What is your 35,000 foot overview of the CRE sector today?
Well, I think there's a lot of opportunity, honestly. You know, I have a couple of notes that I took for today's call that, you know, the outlook for 2024 is that it'll probably pick up in the second half of 24. There's a lot of hybrid office going on right now, and I think that will remain strong. The industrial market, which I do a ton of, is super healthy, and we'll probably have the same, if not more, absorption for that we'd had in 2023. And obviously apartments are big still. And so people love that investment. The hotel industry is coming back, you know, now that COVID's over. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there's a lot of opportunity, and it comes back to where are you mindset wise? I hear a lot of brokers because that's probably the biggest question that I get is, hey, what's the market going to be? Interest rates went up, everyone froze, got freaked out, scared everybody. You know, people are thinking that they need to go get another job. And I'm like, whoa, why are you even letting your mind get into that space? You know, what are you doing internally to make 2024 the best year in commercial real estate? Because what others aren't doing or being lazy in doing, how can you capitalize from that? Mm-hmm. And so that's really where my head goes. It's not really, oh, well, what's going to happen in the market? Well, here's a couple statistics that people think, right? Economists predict, but they're just predictions. I think this year can be very strong. I see that there's leases still happening. We have a handful, you know, many handfuls of deals going on. And so it's not slowing down anytime soon, but we're also kicking it into gear with our customer service, with our marketing, with our social media, with our push, you know, with our CRM system, with Crexy. You know, we're making sure that we're not skipping a beat or being lazy on servicing our clients. There's a lot of people, especially in commercial real estate, get super lazy when these winters come. Yep. And winter is really when I feel like I shine the most. And it's separation season. And so I embrace
I love that term, separation season. That's awesome.
I embrace it big time.
Yeah, it almost sounds, as you explain it too, it almost sounds similar to COVID, where that was a time for some people to check out and others to really hone in on what they wanted to take out of the industry.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. It's what are you telling yourself? And what's, you know, coming back to the personal stuff is what you tell yourself really does matter. If you say it's going to be a really crappy year, well, guess what, Taylor? It's going to be a really crappy year for you.
Yep.
But if you say, hey, it's going to be an amazing year with a lot of opportunity and I'm going to stay in the forefront of it, and you put forth the work and the effort and the communication to do so, guess what? It's going to be an amazing year with a lot of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so I preach that to my teammates and myself that, hey, it's one day at a time. You eat the elephant one bite at a time. Yep. And too many of us try to tackle it all at once, which I was guilty of back in the day. You know, mm-hmm. you just want that big chunk and then move on to the next deal. And it's all about relationships and making sure that you're servicing your clients to the best of your ability so that when that weather does come, that they look at you going, oh, I'm so glad that you negotiated this the right way.
Mm-hmm. Aside from mindset, what shifts in the industry do you think are, you know, worth attention versus what do you think is just kind of fluff?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, industrial is super hot, like industrial flex space. I see data centers that are going to blow up. There's a lot of people land banking right now, especially with cash. Interest rates are super high, so it's really hard to pencil different developments. But there's also people on the other end that are going, oh, I got into this and now I just can't make it work. So I'm going to offload it at a huge discount. And it's just people being ready on the sidelines. Again, as a broker, it's about educating, staying at the forefront of those deals, communicating, you know, being a problem solver. You know, I relate to myself a lot as almost like a commercial real estate doctor. What, you know, fix people's problems. Mm-hmm. And I can't fix them all. But the more I know, the better I can help. And so, again, it comes back to communication really well. But going back, like industrial, multifamily, mm-hmm. land, there's going to be investment sales that people just, their notes are due, or there's a balloon payment and they're like, oh crap, I can't make this pencil. And they're just offloading it. There's a lot of money in this sector and it's just about being prepared and planning ahead so that mm-hmm. when your number gets called, you're ready to go.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is different now versus just market cycles?
Probably that, you know, we haven't seen interest rates this high for a long time. And so it's freaking people out. And it's that unknown kind of gray area that's scaring the hell out of people. And I look at that as not only as an opportunity to help those scarce people, but mm-hmm. also to position my clients in a good way to capitalize on maybe a discounted deal or somebody that really needs to get out of it. And instead of taking advantage of that seller, it's look, let's create a win-win. And it's that energy. Be so confident in yourself that when it's a little bit of a lose for somebody that you're confident enough to say no deal mm-hmm. and get to that win-win, because people talk in this business and you do a good deed, it gets shared 100 times. You do a bad deed, it gets shared 1,000 times. And so I pride myself on sometimes just taking a deep breath and saying, where can I make sure that we create these win-wins in every mm-hmm. aspect of the business? And so that's where a lot of opportunity is, Taylor, is just there's a lot of people freaking out. There's also a lot of people that are very educated. And so from a commercial real estate broker or agent's standpoint is, how can I educate myself the very best so that I can best communicate that with my clients? Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know everything, but I have no fear in the world to jumping on a call or a research person or an economist or another broker or agent to say, hey, help me help you, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And that's really what's propelled my business for a long time.
Yeah. Do you have any, I guess, surprising or controversial thoughts about current market happenings that you'd like to share?
Not really. I think that there will be an adjustment, you know, in the second half mm-hmm. of 2024. But again, I am not, I wouldn't say that I used to be this way, but I used to be very more negative, not very, more negative. And I would look at things in a different way than I do today. I try to find a positive in everything. And so when I hear people talk about negative things about the market, am I aware? Sure. But do I try to pivot the conversation or the dialogue in a different direction? Absolutely. Now you don't overpromise things. You don't go out and say, oh, it's amazing and this is what's going on. You just be truthful. But there is a lot of opportunity out there. You just have to make sure you're looking in the right spots.
So when you're talking with clients, I guess, what are your primary considerations as you're advising them in this year and just looking forward to?
So most of my conversations start by me asking questions. And instead of, hey, let's jump in and get a deal done, is where does it hurt? Where are you feeling it? What areas of your business do you feel like could grow or downsize? Or we're looking at, you know, square footage, economies. We're looking at, hey, how efficient are we getting? Are we just getting square feet to get square feet because that's what we think we need? Or are we really doing a study to get exactly what you do need with a plan to grow or downsize either way? That's the differentiator in my expertise, is just making sure that I'm peeling the onion a little bit slower rather than what we usually do as brokers, is just come out of the gate slinging, wanting to get a deal done as quick as possible, you know, make as much money as possible. Well, it's really not the case anymore. It hasn't been for a long time. It's just, where are the pain points? How can I best serve? And it really is just turning your hat backwards, going, okay, I'm going to play the friend game. I'm going to play the, hey, I'm very educated in this business game. How can I best serve? And when you do that, you already know what happens. It comes back tenfold.
Yeah. That's interesting. So it sounds like taking a couple of steps back and really making sure you start off asking the right questions and understanding their business to best help them versus kind of coming with your own agenda.
Yeah. And then once you know the businesses and you kind of know what their, you know, their high and the lows are, or where their pull is, or how much they'll stretch, then you can really be good. But you just can't come out of the gates like, you know, 2019, 2020, 2021, where just deals are happening left and right. You have to be a little bit more strategic and analytical and a little bit more patient with the process. And like I said, it'll come back tenfold. You just have to have that inner confidence to do so.
Yeah. It sounds like that practice too would just really benefit every aspect too of whether it's business or, you know, any industry that you're in, or, you know, relationships, friendships.
For sure.
Taking a step back and kind of understanding before you speak.
Yeah. Well, we all learn the hard way, right?
Yeah.
We can all say that, oh, I've learned the hard way in X. And just, again, it's the application of it. The reason why people are stuck in their life is because, or in the business, is because they don't apply. They learn all this stuff, but if you don't apply it, it's just negative. It's just empty space. You know, it's like they call it negative space or wasted space in your brain. And so I may be absorbing or learning less and less over the years, but I'm applying more and more and going back to the lessons that I learned early on in my career, going, hey, let me just think twice about this and act in a way that is the right way to do it.
And so when you're, go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, well, when you're talking with clients too, what would you say are like the current obstacles that you're running into?
Deals not penciling is a big one. You know, lease rates are obviously yielding very high because interest rates are high. And it's just about making it work. There's oftentimes there's no wrong or right, Taylor. It either works or it doesn't. And there's more often, more times now that it doesn't work than it does. And we're not used to that because the last several years, it just works, right? No matter what we do, it just works. And it's been a learning lesson for all of us. I can speak for every broker. It's been a learning lesson for all of us. But again, it's just an obstacle. The real estate cycles go like this. and you just learn and you capitalize on when you're low, and you learn and you capitalize and you apply when you're high. So it's a long game. It's not a get rich quick type of game at all.
Yeah. Well, given your specialized background and expertise, I'm sure our listeners are curious about your answers to a few rapid fire questions or words of advice.
Okay.
So first off, if you were given $50 million today and had to invest it immediately, what would your go-to asset type be and location and why?
Well, I'm bullish on Salt Lake City because I live here and I do business here. I love Arizona. Any red state, I love Texas. But I would be in commercial real estate. There's a lot of other good investments outside of real estate, but real estate's what I know. And so I would be very smart. I wouldn't put it all into real estate. I would diversify. But I definitely would capitalize on real estate. Because what's cool is you can leverage it. You know, you put 20% down, let's say you have $1 million, you put 20% down and you can buy a property five times that worth. Mm-hmm. So you have $1 million, you can buy $4 or $5 million worth of real estate with $1 million. And that's what I love about real estate is leverage. So again, that's a unique question. I haven't gotten that one in a long time, but I'm a person of diversification. I look at things that, you know, if you go all in on one thing and all your money's tied up and that one thing doesn't do good, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
But definitely a big chunk of that would be in commercial real estate, multifamily, industrial, land, retail, so on and so forth.
Yeah. I love that question too. And I would venture to guess the reason we ask it is because that's how Crexie got its start. Our CEO, Mike DiGiorgio, was at a business meeting and someone said, you know, if I were to give you X amount tomorrow, how would you invest it?
Yeah.
And he pitched the Crexie idea and was flown out to go, you know, formally pitch it. And that so kicked cool. it off and started Crexie.
Crexie's awesome. We love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, my next question is, you know, do you have a favorite tool or software used on the job? And I promise it's not a trick question.
No, we love Crexie. And what I love about Crexie even more than Crexie's platform is their customer service. I can call him and he's there. He knows me. I know him on a very personal level. And if I have problems or I'm having issues, they help me out. So that's one thing that I love about Crexie. Whether you're on this podcast or not, is the customer service aspect, because that's what gets me going way more than just the software itself.
Yep. I love that, the experience. We hear that a lot from customers too, is, you know, especially just given their experience in the market and any other tools out there too, it seems like Crexie just really stands out in that regard of how much we're there to support and how quick we are to answer questions and even build in what customers are looking for. I work selling the Crexie Intelligence, which is, you know, kind of a startup within a startup here. Sure. And it's been really cool to hear from investors and developers, you know, what they need out of a tool and then be able to take that right back to our product team, products able to implement it. And then I can go back to the customer and say, you know, thanks so much for sharing this. Like, here's what we've got for you. I think it's really cool. Yeah, we're really trying to build based on like what the industry needs and really listening to the customers.
Yeah, the biggest thing in especially tech is feedback. And you can take feedback as feedback, positive or negative, or you can take it back as criticism. And when these tech companies take feedback, especially from their customers, and apply it, oh my gosh, that's when most tech companies go berserk. So good job.
Yep.
Keep it up.
Well, I can't take all the credit, but thank you. On behalf of everybody, thank you. And then I know you've talked a little bit about just like mindfulness, how you want to show up, working on patience, working on self-awareness. What sort of resources would you recommend or, you know, any books, anything like that that you...
Oh my gosh, I love books. I listen and I just send you a list of some that you could put like in the bio or the profile. But one that I really enjoyed listening to this last week was Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey.
Oh yeah, listen to that.
I love that book. And it talks about taking advantage of green lights in your life. And when also things that happen to you that maybe you're not happy with, or again, they're learning lessons. We talk about this a lot, this podcast, is they're actually green lights that are helping you stay away from red lights or yellow lights. And I've seen a lot of those in the last year, even looking at 2023 as like a rebuild year or like a reset year to build a new team, you know, to do a lot of these things, all while the real estate market is kind of going down the crapper. And, but there's so many others. Oh my gosh, there's so many others. I'd be happy to share.
Yeah, we'd love a list.
Yeah, I love podcasts. I love learning. You know, anything that I can do to learn to be a better human, all in.
All
every
in.
Every aspect of my life, all in.
That's awesome. Do you have any go-to podcasts you like to listen to?
I love Ed Mylett. He's probably my favorite. He's a California guy. Very, very positive on mindset. There's a handful of them. Like Dan Fleischman has a really good podcast. Andy Frisella has a great podcast. A lot of my close friends here in Utah have great podcasts. But I would say the one that I listen to the most, he's very, very good. He's a great speaker. And I love his outlook on life.
Sounds like that's your MO as well.
Yeah, I try to be that way.
Yeah. Cool. Well, as we wrap up, are there any parting words you'd like to share with our audience?
Just how much I appreciate you guys and Crexy. And so thanks for having me on. It's an honor.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Ryan, it's been an honor to you. Thank you for giving me the time today.
Yeah.
Well, if people want to get in touch with you, what is the best way for them to find you?
Yeah, so you can go on Instagram at Real Ryan Flint, or you can look at our website at hgmanor.com.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure not to miss the next one. Visit go.crexy.com/podcast. And sign up to get the very next episode delivered straight to your inbox. You can also subscribe to the Crexy Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or check out our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/Crexy for video recordings of each episode. Goodbye, stay well, and we'll see you next time.